Blog Talk Radio.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long.
So welcome you to the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. For the last couple of months, we have had our regular podcast, and I want to take this opportunity to welcome you back to our show and remind you of the mission here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. As always, it's to assist our brothers and sisters here in the diaspora to migrate to the African continent, set up businesses, and also to serve as a business incubator to ensure the success of those businesses. Over the last couple of months, like I said, we haven't had our show. We want to go ahead and take this opportunity to refocus and get back on track. So I want to remind you that we're still here. We're standing our ground and continuing the work here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. So a couple of things have happened, you know, over the course of the last couple of months. Back in April, we were mid in the, you know, effects of the COVID-19. Subsequently to follow in May, we had the passing of our brother, George Floyd, and want to take this opportunity to send condolences to the family of George Floyd and to acknowledge the impact that this had had on the world over. We're now light has been shone on the injustices and racial injustices that have been meted out to the Black community, you know, across the world, and also to, you know, highlight excessive force from law enforcement that is a major contributor, you know, to what's been sparked. So those are, you know, several issues that we would love to address, you know, in our community. So as always, like I said, we want to remind you of the mission, and that is what we will focus on here at Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Our mission is to serve as a business incubator, you know, to assist our brothers and sisters here in the diaspora to set up businesses on the African continent and to ensure the success of those businesses. Also want to remind you to follow us on our social media streams. On Twitter, you can find us at Program Sankofa, and on Instagram, we're Sankofa Repatriation. Also on Facebook and YouTube, we're Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. You could follow us there to get the latest updates. I want to congratulate our sister, our leader, Sister Ya, for the work she has been putting in on YouTube. We have surpassed 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, so that is a lot to be thankful for. We have achieved that since starting the program as of November of 2019. So that is a lot to be thankful for. I want to remind you to follow us there. So for the program today, we will be talking to a civil drafter, and we will be talking land development. You know, what do you do with the land before you start building your dream house? So within a couple of minutes, we're going to bring on our guest, and we're going to, you know, take a deep dive into land development. Also, I want to remind you to, you know, consider supporting us on our mission, to visit our website at sankoforrepat.com. And there you will be able to click on donate and choose to, you know, become a monthly Patreon contributor, contributing as little as $1 per month to assist us on our mission in getting our brothers and sisters set up on the African continent with successful businesses. And also we have joined forces with brother and sister organizations. We're doing the work of the people to form the Exodus Alliance. And also on our website, you'll see a box, a donate button for donor box. You could choose to donate there also. Our goal is to raise $1 billion within 2 years to assist our brothers and sisters setting up businesses on the African continent. So we're going to go ahead and you know, jump right into the program and bring on our guests. We should have our civil drafter on the line. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Dwayne?
I am doing good, sir. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on our program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, you were saying something?
Okay, yes. Okay, so we will be speaking to our civil drafter. We're going to talk land development, most of, you know, what do you do with the land before you build your dream house. So we know a lot has to be given, a lot of consideration has to be given to, you know, roads, easements, utilities, you know, water runoff, and also for the landscape. Whenever you're building your house. So we have, we'll be taking a deep dive into all of that information. So I want to introduce to you Errol. He is our civil drafter and has a lot of knowledge in that area. So Errol, why don't you go ahead and give us a little about your background and how did you get into civil drafting?
And my background was started out in architectural drafting and design before I merged into civil engineering design.
Uh-huh.
And basically, there's a lot into going into building your home on a piece of land. You know, there's a lot of entities and moving parts that comes along with it.
Uh-huh.
And if you have any question, please feel free to hack me, and I can stop and I can go along.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
When you start getting a piece of land first to build a home, you have to have a surveyor, you know.
Okay. For some reason, your phone just went out a little bit, Errol. Can you check if you're using like a headset or so, just make sure that it's connected properly.
All right. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, much better now.
Much better. Right. So
mm-hmm.
I want you, whenever you can, if you want to stop and ask a question, you can feel free to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're building your dream home or you're getting a piece of land, you want to first off, you want to get a surveyor to survey your land so you can pretty much have your property line, your existing condition, and your easement. And once you have that information, your survey plaque, you can turn it over to an engineer, and our engineer and our architect, who engineer works with the architect sometimes. And sometimes if you're building just the home itself, you can just deal with the architect itself, and the architect will be able to come up with the complete design layout, you know, including foundation, electrical, plumbing, you name it, from start to finish.
Okay.
So if you're coming off of a road, you're going to need to deal with a civil engineer as well, too, who deal with the earthwork process.
Uh-huh.
You want your house to be leveled, and also you want your house to be sloping a different way, so you don't have water coming into your house if there is an hurricane or an overflow of water or something.
Uh-huh.
You want to be able to make sure that there's drainage to drain your water too. And so it takes a lot that goes into building the home. Sometimes some people see the home and they think it's so easy, it's as easy as putting up that, but there's a lot of paperwork, and there's a lot of permits that gotta be pulled and to, you know, get the work done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see you went into what's involved in, you know, preparing the land before development as it relates to, you know, your subject area. You talked about water runoff. You talk about, you know, working with the civil engineer, you're working with the architect. But I know what most of what you focus on is like the earthwork, you know, what to do with the dirt that is on the land. If you're going to need to, you know, take out some of the dirt that is here, or bring in some dirt from other places to either level the land. So
right.
So I want you to speak with regards to like earthwork and 3D modeling for the dirt that is there. I wanted to speak to, you know, why is it important for someone to have a civil drafter, you know, do some earthwork, and what is earthwork also? Tell us what is earthwork and why is it important for, you know, someone to have that done before they build their house.
There we go. So having your earthwork prepared is starting out with a survey. So the surveyor would go out there and it will detect the existing condition at ground level and gives you the elevation of the piece of land. So it's like a terrain you see going up and down. So building that home, you want it to have a building pad that is set at a flat elevation, so you can start, you know, building your house going up. It's like putting down all the blocks and stuff like that, and then building a level plan.
Uh-huh.
But why is it important? Is that you have to have a civil engineer? Is because the civil engineer is gonna be able to work with the drafter, which is myself, who is a drafter, and we work with the direction of how the house is gonna be facing. Where do you want the house to be looking? And where the earthwork comes into play is we're gonna tell. Okay, if we make this at an elevation, it will make the ground becomes level, and we're going to detect how everything is going to slope to the back, to your right of way, or it slopes to the front, to the drainage, or to the road.
Uh-huh.
And so the engineer, we come in and we create an engineer set of plan, which is called a civil set of plan, and we have a grading sheet, and on those grading sheets we have elevations that we call proposed grade elevation, so we can level out the land. So in order to level out that land, if you have a proposed grade at 15 and your new grade is going to be at 26 to make it be level, that would be a fill area. So we don't have a computer now for us to like share screen so I can show you guys a lot of stuff of what's going on, but that would be a fill area, so we'll know that's an area that needs dirt. So we would say, okay, we need this amount of dirt to import to that area so it can still help to come up to ground level to where you can build the land.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or to where you can build your property.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and expand on that some more. You might not hear me for a while, but just go ahead and expand on that some more, okay?
All right. Yeah, so when we do that and we have all the existing conditions, and then we have the proposed grades from the engineer. We work with the architect, so once we finish out the ground level part of building up to where the building pad is going to be for the building, that's where the architect comes in and lay out their information, their drawings, and also their foundation plan, and put it onto the pad that we lays out. And they take it from there. We started, you know, the building started going up. So me personally, I'm working, as you know, my background in architecture drafting as well. You know, I work with architects before. I have an architect that is pretty close to me, and we all work together on multiple projects. And we have to come up with, you know, foundation plan, because you have to have the foundation, you have to have the plumbing, you have to have your electrical, you know, you have to know the thickness of the walls, you know, you have to have the door, make sure the door measurements are correct, you have to make sure the overhang of the roof, is correct. You know, you have to meet the standard, or wherever you live, you have to meet the standard of how the roof pitches and how the water pitches off the roof as well. There is so much detail into it that, you know, it will take a lot for me to show you, but I can show it to you if people were sharing a screen.
I tried to have a video call today, but I wasn't able to get that set up. So maybe next time we'll do another one where we could have a video set up where our listeners could have a more visual experience of what you're explaining. So at the same time, I also want to mention that most of our listeners, they might not work, you know, specifically with all this information that we're giving now, but I wanted to, you know, give out this information just so they know what could take place with the land before you build on it. Because most of them, they might have a contractor, you know, take care of all of this. And but we just want to highlight the importance of, you know, acknowledging where all the water should run within a community. Because you don't want to get to start building houses and then, you know, you didn't give consideration for where all the water would run, you know. And then, and then before you know it, you have flooding. You know, or not even say flooding, but maybe a lot of water on the streets, just because the proper earthwork wasn't done. You know, you didn't bring in the bulldozer to follow the drawing from a civil drafter to, you know, bulldoze a certain part of the land. So, you know, to dictate that's where the water should run. So we just want to highlight that to our listeners. Most of the, you know, the reason why it is important to get a civil drafter involved, and also the civil engineer. And I noticed that you did say most of this will start from the surveyor. It is the surveyor that will inspect the land and give you what is called the existing conditions, meaning the surveyor will tell you what parts of the land are low-lying land, and what part of it are on a higher elevation, and how you could even out all of it, right?
Right. It started out with the survey, right? So you have to have that piece of survey plaque in order for, before you can even know, you know, how to even start the building and where you're even going to face, how you're going to face, where you want your front of your house to face, you know, how the sun to come into your house. It's all about lighting as well, too. So as an architect, you have to know which way to position your house for the sun to hit. So, you know, you want to have your house. You don't want the sun to come directly into your bedroom or every position. It's just knowing how to position it from the survey track. And it will detect on the survey where it's east, north, south, east, and west as well, too.
Okay. So also one of the things that I really wanted to have you come on and explain to our listeners, you know, how you know, this kind of stuff is done, is because we here in the diaspora, we were given 5,000 acres of land in Ghana, meaning anyone in the diaspora could, you know, apply to get it, to build a house, you could build businesses, you could do a farm, you could have supermarket, you know, whatever you want to build there, you could ask for the land to do such. And then once you pay the necessary transfer fee, the land is free. So our people could just pay the transfer fee to get it in their name and just start building what is allowed, you know, to be built, or what you propose to build. So now I noticed that some of the work that you have done, it is on, let's say, a larger project, let's say an entire community of, let's say, 300 homes. and this is managed by one developer, you know, and he would go in and do the earthwork for all of those houses. Now, as it relates to what most of our people might be dealing with, they might be dealing with their individual lots. So is it the same thing that will be involved if you're dealing with let's say 300 houses or just your single lot? Is it still necessary for you to, you know, do the proper earthwork to before you build?
Especially if you really want a nice neighborhood. You would really want to make sure you have a nice road, because if you're gonna build a nice house, you're gonna have your nice vehicles to drive into that home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You don't want to have all those potholes, rocks, and all that kind of
uh-huh.
stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd want to make sure you have a good road. So I work with, oh my God, I work with 700 lots of division and big properties. And I work with my company who I work with now, and also for myself. Then I work with contractors to put
mm-hmm.
that earthwork together, and to put the machine file together that goes on the dozer to build the
mm-hmm.
road, and also build the curbs and the sidewalks, and to build
mm-hmm.
the building pad where the home is gonna be built on.
Yeah.
So it's a larger scale right there dealing with that, you know, that you're getting a nice piece of road to go inside, and then you start building
mm-hmm.
on your property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And those are some of the things that we outlined earlier. To get the best of, you know, landscaping, to get all the curves, the sidewalks into the neighborhood, you know, to determine where we're going to have all the water runoff. It is necessary to do the earthwork, to lay out the community, you know, before you go in and start building houses. I noticed that in some of the communities here that we're living, let's say, for example, the one that I live in, it's called Marsh Arbor in West Palm Beach here. And it has, I think it's about three ponds. In the community, and I understand that they're used as water runoff, I guess to collect the excess water whenever there's a lot of rain. Can you, with your expertise, can you tell us the importance of those mini lakes within the communities?
Yeah, those are wet ponds. We call them wet ponds. We build those ponds, and it adds up to an elevation up to, we call it a water line. So we have a water line
mm-hmm.
stop before it goes up to the top of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the bank. And on the top of the bank, you can have a sidewalk around or a pathway around that pond as well. But
mm-hmm.
the importance of that is when you have a big-sized community and
mm-hmm.
you're building your home inside that community, you want to make sure you have a drainage system. So
yeah.
when a drainage is coming off the road, it has a pathway that it runs to go to those ponds. So that means if there's a heavy rain, each
uh-huh.
one of those ponds, we built them to hold up to say 400. One we built the other day was up to 200 years. So,
uh-huh.
so the deeper the pond, sometimes we can say that pond holds up to, you know, 5-6 years or 7 years or 8 years
uh-huh.
before it can even overflow into the next pond. And
uh-huh.
even if we build it for even a year, we know that when the water reaches to that water level, it will transfer over to the other pond. So you'll never have a water problem inside that community. So you have to have a drainage system set up and tied into the road as well, so that the water can run into the road as well as it run into the pond inside the community.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. I'm glad that you're able to highlight the importance of those. That is necessary to, you know, control the water flow whenever there's heavy rain within a community. Can you talk to some of the other things that, you know, proper earthworking allows for within a community? As far as, you know, controlling the water runoff, having the sidewalks, landscaping, proper roads and easements. What are some of the other benefits to doing the earthwork in working with the survey and the engineer, civil engineer?
Right. So basically, it is very important. You know how many times you're driving and you just boom your pot, your car just run into one load of the water, pot loads of water.
A big pool of water.
Big pool of water. So it's very important for the road to be sloped. So normally roads are sloped 2%, either 2% slope or a 3% slope. So in both directions. So it's an high point in the middle. But you don't really feel it nor see it, but that's how it will drain. So, and for me, who's been doing this over 20 years, 18 to 20 years, I experience, we added also the machine file. So, when building that machine file, I'm able to tell already that everything is draining properly because I have it in there where I'm showing the arrow flows of where the water should be drained to. So it's going to drain into the inlet, and it goes down to the inlet, and it's going to tie into another structure, and from that other structure, it's tied into it goes straight towards the pond. So when you build that road to a 2% slope down, you're going to go back up to the curb. So from the curb to the sidewalk have to have a little bit of slope as well coming down off of it. You're not going to feel it, but it's there. And also from where the house is or where the pad is, the water also flows off of there into the road. So that's like maybe a 4-to-1 or a 3-to-1 right there coming down. So everything is sloping down. Sloping down at a 2% or 2% to 4% to be matched in a subdivision or in a subdivision. So it's very important for that road to be built. And it's also very important for you to have a drainage system in that development. Because when the water runs off and it has to go into the drainage system to go somewhere. Or else you're going to have a pool of water into the whole sub-development and the water is going nowhere. And you got to be walking around in water. So
yeah,
you have to have a pond that to build or build a pond or build, you know, whether it's going to run to an existing road. You know, the water going to run off to an existing road or into some pond you're going to be building around.
Yeah.
There is no road to run into. So it's very important for you to have that drainage system in place before you even start building your home. So you just own a piece of lot and there's no roads at all in there. And you bought that lot, you build a home there. You want to make sure at least with that survey plaque, you're already sloping at that 4% or 2% slope. Just in case someone comes in comes in and they build a sidewalk and they start building a road, then you're already safe because your home is not going to be at where it's going to be flooded. Where it's going to be designed already to an higher elevation. Based on the plaque from the existing condition from the surveyor.
Nice. Okay, so let's give a little contrast between, you know, building in different locations. So let's say here in Florida, most of the land is like flat. There are no hills, so I can see where, you know, you have somebody doing the earthwork, and it's just, you know, making sure that the land is, you know, completely level. And the water is going to run off in certain areas. Let's contrast that to building in, let's say, in Jamaica or in Ghana, where there might be some hilly parts of the land. I know in Jamaica, whenever you're building, and let's say on the lower side of the land, you might build up the block level to, let's say, one floor level, and then you'll dump up that entire floor, you know, to compensate for building on the land side, right? So how does that work? How does that look in terms of, you know, which design or which land earthwork would you go with? Does the same still apply if you're building on a hilly area? Do you still need to do this earthwork?
Typically you can, and typically you don't. Because, you know, we're going into Jamaica and we're going into the Caribbean where, you know, some places doesn't have, they don't really care. So if you're on a hill, if you're on a hill, you can do some earthwork just to make sure that you're safe. Because at the same time, you know, if you're on a hill, you're building that house, then you're going to have the water from top going to be coming down too, right? So you want to make sure you have a same situation going on, a drainage system again going on. Because, example, at my house that is built in, you know, in Jamaica, we have a drainage system from the road. So we have a drainage system from the road and uneven the road going into the house. You know, so basically it goes down, but at the same time the water goes off into that drainage system and run down, where we would call it, down into the gully. So we'd call it runs down into the gully instead of it running towards the home and build up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the gully might be just some empty land behind your house. Where
empty
no
land
really
down,
lives.
Yeah, down at bottom where no one really lives at. Right.
Okay.
So
you want to create
that drainage pad, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, comparing that to, you know, trying to build, let's say, modern communities where everything looks more structured, everything looks more uniform. So you're saying, from what I'm seeing is that applying a little consideration to the earthwork will make these communities come out better as far as the aesthetics, how they look. You know, how the entire community looks.
Right. The earthwork is very, very important, and it plays so much into how the amount of cubic yard of dirt you need and how much cubic yard. Maybe you can even take off your site. You know, I mean, you can even sell that dirt. You know, you don't really need the dirt because you have so much dirt on site that you don't even need it. You don't need to need no more dirt. But at the same time, you want to make sure. You know, if you're building a house on a hill, you're going to have to drive up to that house that you're going to be building on the hill, right?
Yeah.
You know, or you're going to be building towards the hill. So that's where you're going to have the earthwork structure as well, too. So even if you blocked it up, even if you blocked it up and you level it, you know, whether you pour dirt or concrete to level it up, you still want to have a drainage system going on where it drains into. So if it's not dirt or it's concrete, you have to have a drainage system going in. So that your house doesn't get flooded. That's the most important thing for your home not getting flooded. And for you, also, if you have a nice vehicle going into your home, you want to be able to make sure that you can drive in and out safely and, you know, and nice.
Yeah, without driving through flooded areas.
Right. Even though, like, Florida is a very flat, Florida is flat, we try to build all these roads and bridges. We try to build them at slopes, and we try to build them at certain percentage of slope so that we always have a drainage system. So that water is always going somewhere. It's either going into a lake or it's going into a pond. We're always building a lot of ponds. So if you notice in Florida here, we have a lot of man-made pond that we built. So that's where those ponds are for the water to drain into all those ponds.
And I must say too, these ponds, they do a lot for the community. They make it look real good, I must say. I see a lot of communities that have the ponds in them. Some of them even refer to them as waterfronts, so how huge some of them are. They even refer to some of the properties that are facing these ponds as waterfront properties. And it does a lot for the landscaping and for the view of the property when they have these ponds in there. It makes them so much more beautiful communities, I must say.
Right. And one more important point I want to bring forth is even dirt. You know, there is good dirt and there is bad dirt. I know we all come from the Caribbean. We live here in Florida. We live all over wherever we all are from. So there's good dirt and bad dirt. So at some point we have a geotechnical guy who will go into going in and also say, okay, you know, he has the survey plaque and he also looking at that survey plaque, and when he goes with the survey plaque, he goes and detects where the good dirt is and where the bad dirt is. So some may not have good dirt and some may have good dirt. So the one that does have the bad dirt, we have to remove that dirt because, you know, you're not going to be able to plant anything for it to grow. You know what I mean? So we take your plant into consideration. We take landscape into consideration, you know, for good dirt and for bad dirt as well, because you want to make sure you have good dirt for things to grow in.
Okay. Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that talking about good dirt and bad dirt, because some of the times, like you said, you have a geologist that comes in and tests that dirt. You know, for the conditions that you want. Geotechnical engineer. Yeah, that's good because I think, you know, working on the landscape within the communities, it adds a lot of value and a lot of beauty to the communities when you focus on landscape and not just saying you're just throwing up your house because you want somewhere to live. You know, you want it to look good also. So it's very important. Okay. So I think go ahead.
No, I was saying in Jamaica, they're starting doing the same thing as what we're doing here in the United States as well. You know, you can see a lot of homes that are built in Trelawney, going all the way back to Ocho Rios. A lot of those homes that are built as a sub-development community, you know, they also making sure that drainage system is in place, dirt earthwork is in place, you know, before a person even buy a piece of lot. You know, so are the person who even buys a lot and owns a lot, you know what I mean, they also make sure that there's earthwork taken care of on that piece of land so that they know that they're safe when they're building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it is good that you mentioned that because especially some of the newer communities that are being built in Jamaica, I'm from the countryside in Jamaica, and, you know, as far as building houses, most of it is just, you know, your family has some lot and some land. And you grew up, now you're a big person and you want to build a house, you just go build a house on, you know, some of the land.
Yeah, man.
So,
Start building.
Yeah, without giving consideration to, okay, where is the water going to run? How do we want the road to look? You know, how about landscaping? You know, and as far as sewer in Jamaica on the countryside, most of it is just by personal sewage system on the property where we use pit. Where you know, where the sewer would run into your personal pit. It doesn't run off to like a city sewer. They call it septic here in Florida. Some of the properties here in Florida have septic, and some of them are on a city sewer. So, you know, the sewer part might be a different issue. But
there you go. You have the they call some of them the lift station. There's a couple of areas that you have to have a sewer your water and your sewer in place too. In a subdevelopment, so you have your water running. You know, you're cooking. Where does that water go from the kitchen? Where does the water go from the bathroom? You know, it has to go somewhere.
You're right. So most of it we're from the knowledge that we have is mostly house done here in, let's say, America and in Jamaica. On our next show, I'm going to try to have, you know, someone from Ghana who's involved in building and constructing homes here come on and explain to us how it's done there so we could, you know, contrast and you know, put together the best of both worlds, how to build, you know, beautiful communities and have, you know, modern utilities in those communities. So on that note also, I want to just give out some information on, you know, some of the projects that we know are happening. We have a brother in Senegal. He is building an entire city there. He's working with his group is called the Al-Kabula Development Project. That is brother RJ Madi. And he's in Senegal and he's building a city. And they're working with a lot of people who are putting in a lot of infrastructure to sustain those cities. We're talking about schools, medical facilities, shopping and commerce, educational facilities, and housing projects. And those projects, a lot of those projects are well underway. So I'm going to share all this information with you.
I don't mean to cut you, Mr. Dwayne, but for someone who is building, building up a development for, someone like if you own this piece of property, you make it into a development. You want to make sure you get a good contractor. You know what I mean? Estimate or does the estimating. So he has to be the one. You know, estimate and give you a good estimate on that, on the sub-development, you know, so you're going in at the right price with that person and with a company as well that is going to be performing a good work, you know, because some companies, they come and they just come and not going to be performing. our company that here in Florida that I work for, you know, we estimate the project. So we're going to give you an earthwork, and we're going to tell you how much this pipe is, how much the pipe costs, how much it takes to do the earthwork, how much it takes to do for the drone. We even have a drone that flies and talk how much of site mileage is going along, and we can know how much more dirt we need, how much more dirt is left to be added to the project. So, you know, you're getting your money's worth out of it.
Good stuff.
So
good
you have to have an estimator who, you know, let you know how much it's going to cost for all the fittings, for the for the water, for the sewer, for the storm, and for all the drainage, and you know, for all the permitting that got to be pulled, and you know, because as a owner that you don't know so much about, you know, the contractor got to know to pull all the all the different types of permitting for that piece of land.
I know definitely I'll be reaching out to Brother RJ Madden and sharing some of this information with him and also networking with him also. Now, location doesn't matter. You're now in America, but it doesn't matter where the project is.
You're still
able to, you know, work out whether it be in Ghana, whether it be in Atlanta, you know, Orlando, West Palm Beach, or even Jamaica. It doesn't matter where the land is. You will be able to, you know, work with the surveyor, work with the civil engineer, and you as a civil drafter, you will be able to do the earthwork to model that piece of land before you start building the house. That's correct, right?
Before you build the house. Yeah, that is correct. And that's why my background goes from, you know, back in 2001 in that field, you know, so I know how to put all those plans together, you know, for an architect or for civil engineering set of plans. And I work also with estimators now, and I give the estimator the earthwork, you know, to make sure that they included that into the information that they're going to be providing to the owners or, you know, the owner and as well as the contractors who is going to be building that piece of land.
They're
going to be building the development for the road and for the building.
Nice. And you said this is important, and you're able to work with an individual who is working on, let's say if they were assigned a lot for themselves or they are working with a large piece of land, you will be able to work with them to model that that project.
Right, I'll be able to work with them as well as I will be working with the engineer to make sure he provides the right grades. Because I can tell from an engineer standpoint, you know, being working in the field for so many years, I can tell from an engineer standpoint whether his grade is too low or he's making something up that is not going to be correct for the development. You know, so sometimes I go back and forth with the engineer and saying, you know, maybe we need to revise the grade because it's not flowing properly. It's not draining correctly. So, you know, it's a little process.
Okay.
So
cool.
I'm the one who works with the engineer, and I also work with the contractor and the owner to make sure that they get that right information. Because they have to have the earthwork, you know, before. And
start building.
Right. So you can sell your good dirt. Because if you have a piece of land and you have a lot of good dirt, and the other guy over there, he doesn't have dirt, his dirt is bad, you can sell him some of your dirt. You know what I mean? So you take some of your dirt and sell it to him. Yeah.
Now, are you able to go into what constitutes good and bad dirt, or are you leave that up to the geotechnical engineer?
Yeah, so the geotech engineer will send me that information. And when I get that information, I input that information into the earthwork. And I have a software that I use to detect that. So I know how far down to go before I get bad dirt. And I will able to tell, okay, we have so much of bad dirt on this property. So even though the geotech guy does this thing, I still implement it into the earthwork. And I'm able to spit out that information for you to know how many yards or cubic yards of dirt that is on that property that needs to go away, or whether it needs
so good dirt or let's say bad dirt. Bad dirt just speaks to the inability for that dirt to, you know, grow landscaping or grow fruit trees, or it speaks to the quality of that dirt that it might sink if you put the foundation there, or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. It's just like you're in Florida. We're living in a swampy land here in Florida. So you don't want your house to sink, right? So we make sure you have a good dirt. The good dirt is there, so that piece of dirt that you're building is sit on, that's good dirt, so it won't sink.
Okay.
So if you have an earthquake going on and you're sitting on good dirt, you know what I mean? You still can sustain because we do.
Yeah.
There's also when we build and we take in consideration of you know, how just like water, like for all those ponds, we take in consideration of how many years. So we'll design it in a way that we have a system in there that the water is running. We let that thing run overnight, and we say, okay, this pond can hold up to water for about four years before it overflows. Example, example, South Florida Water Management, the West Storage Reservoir they have out there, you know, that big lake reservoir. They have
Which one is that? Is that Lake Okeechobee you're talking about, or which one is it?
The reservoir that they have out there in the Berry Groves up in close to the
Belgrade?
Big reservoir out there in Belgrade. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Lake Okeechobee.
That's Lake Okeechobee, right? So, right there, they're working on that right now, just in case the water flow, because we have so much hurricane that comes in. So
let me ask you though, with regards to Lake Okeechobee, does water flow to it, or is just mainly from it to the sea?
No, water flows to it.
Okay.
They have a measurement, and they have someone testing that measurement, you know, on a daily basis, to make sure that you know, the it's sustained where it needs to be and where it needs to stay at.
Oh, okay.
And right now they're in the process of building another pond and building another reservoir just in case we have an hurricane and that overflows, it goes straight into that other pond and we don't have, you know, this whole entire place flooded.
Okay. Yeah, that is building reservoirs and pond on a very large scale, because that is one very large lake.
Yeah,
because if you look on the map of Florida, you'll see it right there in the middle. It's like this big coin sitting in the map of Florida. Okay, so previously we had a lot of chat about, you know, land development, and I want to speak to as it relates to the 5,000 acres of land that I keep telling you about that is given to the Africans in the diaspora. And this is in Ghana. So we have the paramount chief and Chief Nana Obekese, who's administrating this. And they gave us 5,000 acres of land. Not me, but us in the diaspora. So you could get enough land to build a house. You could get land to do a farm if you have a hardware that you want to build. You can just ask for it, and you will get it. So I did send you the site plan, right? So from that site plan, what you had advised me that a step that we could take from that is get the existing conditions from the surveyor, and then you will be able to tell how each of those lots, how the dirt should be leveled, and how the road should be sloped, so that water doesn't run into the houses when they're built, so that water runs to a specific area and the water doesn't settle on the road also. So can you speak a little bit more on that? What kind of recommendations would you give from that site plan that I did send you?
From the site plan you sent me, I see that's just a concept. We call that conceptual plan. That's not really, it's not really a ready to build. It's more of looking at it and say, okay, we have road coming in here, and this would be one parcel, that's another parcel, that's another parcel. But at the same time, you want to make sure you get, you want to get a site plan, or you want to have a grading plan, and you want to have your electrical plan. You want to have all those that comes into play with an engineer. So you have to work with an engineer with directly that just for even your lot that you're going to be putting in. You want to make sure you have your architect and your engineer work together so you can have a proper grading, you know, when it comes as far as, you know, just from the plan that the surveyor gives, you know, for each mm-hmm. each one of those lots, because you have every lot is gonna have a, every lot is has their own size. You know, you can have a quarter acre lot, and a person have a 1 acre lot. Yeah, the one everybody lot is different. So, you know, you want to make sure you have a survey comes in and take, you know, perform that plaque. You want to make sure you have a piece of that plaque in your hand, you know, that detects all those elevation. So, like I said before you even start building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you refer to as the plaque? When you say a plaque.
So it's a topographic of the of that piece of land. It's a topographic of the piece of land.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And topography refers to, you know, how the gradient
the terrain,
of the land.
The terrain.
The terrain. Which part is the low line, which part is on a higher line side.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay, so from that side plan, you see more as a conceptual drawing. You still would have to get
conceptual the... Exactly, and then you'd want to have more... You're driving into... I'm looking at it, and you're driving... You started draining for even for water, for, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does the water going to go? I mean, I'm looking at the plan, I'm like, there's no pond. You know, sometimes you can build a nice pond that has a fountain in the middle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your water even drains too. But you treat that pond, and you have the water treatment, you know, that's in South Florida, we call it water treatment. So we would treat the pond so that it doesn't smell, and it, you know, and it doesn't smell and even smell up the environment. But
yeah,
you still treat the water.
Yeah, within my community also, I see guys come in from time to time and they treat the pond so it doesn't get too murky and it doesn't get smelly.
It doesn't get smelly, right? And they'll debris from out of the water as well too, and kind of clean the pond up. But you want to make sure you have some pond in that. When I look at that plaque, that set of plan would have to have like at least 2 to 3 pond for the amount of homes that I see going to be building there.
Okay, cool. So what I can speak to though, I know the site plan that I sent you was 100 acres out of 5,000 acres. So there's lots more to be built out, you know, adjoining that site plan. So I'm pretty sure that consideration will be given to water runoff. Some of it will be reserved for, let's say, a lake, or not a lake, but a pond, like you mentioned. To control the water runoff. And if you look at it also, you'll see some green areas are set aside also. But I know this is just the first 100 acres out of 5,000 acres. So I know definitely within their plan, they will have, you know, start giving consideration for those water runoff. And it could even be where it would be a collaboration effort. They could consult, Chief Nana Obakese and the primary chief. And this is called a part of a Pan-African Village Project. I'm pretty sure they could consult with you to get advice on, you know, where would a water runoff go. And this is why I try to do this podcast, to give out more information, you know, and give a more holistic approach as to, you know, developing a community like this.
And for it, even that first 100 or if 100 plus more that you guys have, you have to take into consideration, you know, in Jamaica we got JPS for the light company. Here in South Florida we have FPL for Florida Power and Light, and up here, like here in Orlando, you probably got Duke Energy. So everywhere has their own electrical company. So you want to also have that electrical company knows where they're going to put the light. So you want to know where you're going to have lighting, you know. You don't want to be driving in a hole, you know, from here to down there is going to be really, really dark. So you want to have some light with good LEDs, you know what I mean, LED lights and all that.
LEDs are used for a lot of street lights now.
Right, we use light for street lighting. So for communities, we make sure, okay, then we understand where that come from there. We will also work with, you know, the electrical company to for like Duke Energy to say, okay, then, you know, we're going to need power to shut off, or we're going to need you to start building or open a switch, for you to go underground to put away a transformer is going to be, or if you're going to do overhead, you want to know where your overhead wire is going to be. There got to be your form of easement where they put their pole, and that pole is not encroaching on your property. You know what I mean? And you want to make sure your property is not encroaching on somebody else's property. So they have to have their layout as well, so where they tie into, as well as where they're running their transformers or their lighting and all that kind of stuff to make sure the community is nice as well. So you have to think about the lighting as well within that community. And looking at that plan, I'm not even seeing none of that. You know what I mean? Where your power is going to come from. You want to make sure you have power.
So no, that site plan is more so, like you say, just to get an idea of the layout of the community. It's not anything that has the utilities or anything like that, or sewer lines on it. Yeah, so it wouldn't be on that one. That is just like to get a layout of where the lots would be, you know.
Right. But that's also including, you know, if an individual is going to be building their home, I want my home to build right now. You want to make sure you're contacting the company that owns the, you know, the lighting in your area, and say, okay, I need light, you know, and he's going to be able to run that light, and from that light, it's going to continue on. So that company going to have plan as well too. So they can know that, okay, if another person comes in to build, they can know how to cut off from that line or give you 150 voltage, give another person 240 voltage, whether you're building, you know, whatever you're building there, you know, whether it's a store or a grocery store or a supermarket, you name it, whatever you're putting in there as well too. So it depends on the different voltages that's going to be running inside that community. So you want to make sure if you're going to build your own home, you want to take in consideration you contact the utility company and say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to need this. This is the plaque. And how are you going to be running that light? Because you're going to need power.
Good. So this,
so that got to be taken into consideration as well.
I see in the future we really need to team up with a builder from Ghana who's very familiar with building in that area, and they will be able to share with us, you know, how it's done there, so we could you know, combine best practices, you know, to create the best community for our people, the most beautiful community, the most safe community, as far as flooding, communities free from flooding, you know, having the waters run off in the right here with proper landscaping. Because trust me, the aesthetics and how the community looks, it does a lot. It does a lot, especially if you're building a home. You know, a home is different from a property. A home is where you want to live. You want to enjoy life there. So it has to be done, you know, to the best standards that are available, the best workmanship that is available, to provide, you know, safe living space for our people. So that is my main effort in looking at the project, the 5,000 acres that is allotted to our people here in the diaspora. So I really do see, I hope there is going to, you know, spark some collaboration between your knowledge and expertise with our people who are administering the Pan-African Village Project. And you'll be able to share some best practices within your subject area. Anything else you would like to comment on regarding the site plan?
That's pretty much. I hope the next time, if you give me the opportunity to join, I can be able to share a screen and show you how our project is start and to end. And it won't be long. It would be just probably like, I can do it in 30 minutes. You know, how you'll get a general idea in 30 minutes or so of how, you know, a subdivision or a lot, how everything is started from all the trees on the land and how everything been prepped to a site. And to developing that site, putting in a road and putting in everything, and, you know, as it goes along. So I can do that as well. I have a presentation I can put together for that. So you guys can understand how it looks and feels, you know, just knowing that you're going to have a home there. And it shouldn't, like you said, it has to be a home that you're going to live into, you're going to want to stay into. It's not just a piece of land. Right.
That's not a piece of land that you're just throwing a house on it. Okay, so we look forward to the time when we can do that. And I also want to remind our listeners here that it could be done on an individual basis, because in that first 100 acres that I sent you on the site plan, each person, you know, pays a fee that they to get the lot in their name, and then they pick the lot that they want. So we want to remind our people that, you know, all the stuff that we talk about now, it can be done on an individual lot basis. I know, like I referred to something you commented on earlier, is that, you know, you work on large projects where it's just run by one developer, and he's building like 700 homes, and he
right.
with his company, he pays for all of the earthwork, all of the modeling of all the land looks, the landscape, the roads, he pays for all of that. But it can be done on an individual basis also. Starting
right.
with the,
it can be done on an individual.
Yeah, once you have the survey sends you the existing conditions with guidance from the civil engineer, and you will be able to go in and I do all the earthwork.
Right. And I can
okay.
also do a lot of joins as well for people as well too. I do a lot of you know, making sure, you know, designing their home for them as well too. You know, I can together floor plans, you know, laying out a floor plan for you, you know, where your bathroom is gonna be, where your room is gonna be. And I can also, you know, determine on, you know, on using what my tool that I use to do all these design, I can know where north is, east, west, and south from the survey plaque. So I can know the sun rises from the east, that's in the west, right? So I can project where you would have lighting to come to your home, or how the light is going to come to, you know, what window, or where we're going to put a window, or where we're not going to put a window, you know, stuff like that. So you can have a beautiful home, and you can wake up to opening up that big door, and you see that sunlight pops in, and you have a beautiful inside.
Mm-hmm.
Your house is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of drawings too for.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think you're on my Facebook, and also I know that you're on my Instagram. I did, you know, share a post promoting the show earlier, and we used two drawings from homes that was provided by our leader for the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Her family has a construction company, and those two pictures of the homes, I'm not sure if you saw them. Those drawings were provided by her company, and those are very beautiful, you know, homes, I must say. I want to make sure you see them later on when we're done with the show.
No problem.
They're like real beautiful homes and drawings, and it's good that you say you could do drawings too. So you have a lot more knowledge and just modeling the community. So I hope our people found this information, you know, valuable and useful, as to, you know, what to do with the land, before they start building. A lot of consideration has to be done with, how the land is, you know, modeled, how, where the water runoff and all that. Do you want to go ahead and I'll summarize everything for me? I can't summarize it as good as you would.
But yeah, I can pretty much come in and do some of your design, and I can do some of your joints as well to put the joints together for you. You can be able to have a beautiful home. So, and I'll know all the details, make sure I put in all the drainage as well too, so your water drains properly. From the back of your property to the front of your property, so you don't have you don't drive into your home and you can't be what you know, mostly for the ladies too, they wear heels, right? So they don't want to be coming out of their cars and their heels is right in water. You know, you want to make sure that everything is designed properly. So that area can be, I know I have a lot of expertise in those areas. You know, everyone is pretty much up at home like what we have here in Florida and wherever I put a design.
Great. So we have a lot of expertise within our circles to, you know, design and build beautiful looking communities. So one thing I stress on, you know, most of these lots are given out on an individual basis, but I want to stress that, you know, that all of the community comes together as a whole to ensure that, you know, the community is designed very well. It's pretty much later on in the show now, but really just to give you some backdrop on that 5,000 acres. We did have several previous podcasts with the chief, Nana Obekese from Ghana, who gave us a lot of information on the land. And we surmised that this is a large effort, a large undertaking. You know, 5,000 acres is no small amount of land. So we see where that's going to spark a lot of economic activity in the Asebu area of Ghana. So that is a whole lot of land to develop and to build. And we want to put the most beautiful, structured communities in there with the appropriate businesses and commerce, spaces for, you know, spiritual activities. And but I really want to stress that, you know, it has to be done with a lot of consideration, you know, to model these communities the right way. Sure. All right, so Errol, sure. I want to thank you for coming on the show and explaining to our people. We are going to arrange to have a video podcast later on where you could show us a visual experience of how everything is done. And I hope this will spark some, collaboration between our brothers doing the project in Senegal, building a city there. We have 5,000 acres of land here in Ghana. And also for anyone here in America who needs this kind of work done, anyone in Jamaica who is building a community, if you're building a large development or, you know, 20, 30 homes, to contact you and use your services. Do you have somewhere where are you want to go ahead and I give that out now, or you want to give it out on a later show? As far as, you know, where someone could get in touch with you to get more information.
And we can do it on the other show as well, too, and then we can also provide the website where you can go to, and where we can you guys can pretty much get a lot of information on what I do, how we do it, and so you can, you know, you can be able to see the good service that is going to be done, you know, that how we provided it, and so, you know, a home is livable for everyone, you know, comfortable and nice.
Okay, good. Nonetheless, if one of our listeners want to get reach out to you, they could just send us an email and we'll definitely connect you. All right, so like I said. Yeah, I want to appreciate it and say thanks, man, and big respect for coming through and sharing this information with our listeners. We hope that everyone found it useful, and we definitely will be working together in making beautiful communities out of this 5,000 acres of land.
And as you know, before wrapping up, I can put a presentation together, and if they email you, and want information, I can send them a residential or commercial development and how things look and how before and after pictures and before and after videos of how things work, so they'll be able to have a better, more insight, and they'll be looking and saying, yes, this is what he's talking about, you know, so they have a greater understanding. So that video or that presentation will be more helpful.
There you go. Nice. A lot of connections will be made, and sharing of ideas and expertise. And so we're gonna go ahead and wrap up the show here. Again, thank you very much for coming on and sharing us, your knowledge and land development. What do you do with your land before you start building? A lot of our people, you know, our listeners, they might not use the information themselves, but it is the engineer, the contractor who will be building your house. You have to ensure that most of this stuff is done. Thank you very much, Errol, and we look forward to bringing you on again for the next show. which will be a more visual experience, with better illustrations and, you know, how it's done.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Big respect. Talk to you very soon. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You do the same as well.
Yeah, man. Respect. All right. Cool. Big up. So that was a chat with our civil drafter. He shared with us, you know, what do we do with the land before we start putting down a house. He shared with us a lot of our consideration has to be given to the slope of the land. You know, where will all the water be running? How do you do and design the roads, easements, utilities, sidewalks, you know, landscaping, sunlight. That is one thing I never thought of. How do you position your home so that the appropriate sunlight that you want comes into your home? But more so, you know, handling all the water, putting in an internal lake within the community to, you know, capture all the water runoff so the water doesn't run steadily in your backyard, in your front yard, in your driveway, in the road. You know, it's just designing the community. So it is a safe living space. And I know that I found all of that information very useful. And hopefully our listeners did too. And I will be sharing this information with everyone who I know is building a lot of projects, you know, and bring all these expertise together. Before you go, we did talk about the upcoming event tomorrow, which is Sunday the 21st at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is the health and wellness sector Ghana discussion that will be taking place, put on by the HER Collective. Sounds like HER Collective. And there will be a lot of medical professions on that discussion, talking about how you can get into the medical sector in Ghana. That should be very helpful. Zoom ID on that one is 819-8269-0404. Meeting password is 358-712. I want to thank you for listening to the program. You know, as always, we appreciate your listenership. I want to remind you to go to sankofa-repat.com and learn about what we're doing here at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program and decide to become a monthly contributor, contributing as little as $1 per month. And that will help us to get our brothers and sisters set up in successful businesses on the African continent, providing jobs and living peaceful lives on the African continent. Until our next podcast, I want to say thanks and hope you have a great rest of your day.